God. You may be seated.
Well, good morning, everyone. It seems like resurrection is kind of a theme in our world today. I don't know if you've been to the movies, if you're a moviegoer. Have there been a bunch of movies? I did some research, actually. The research goes back to 1943. I was talking to Dave about it this morning because he's a classic movie watcher. And he even knew who starred in this movie. That's a shocking thing for me. The movie was called Heaven Can Wait. Heaven Can Wait. You might be thinking of the Heaven Can Wait that was done in 1978 by starring Warren Beatty. But that original show was in 1943, starring Don Ameche. And Dave knew that, so he knew it was in the movie. I don't know, I'm not recommending the movie, but anyway, it had heaven in the title. So I did a little research, and from 1943 to now, I found a list of over 140 movies that were shown in the mainstream movie theaters since the 1940s that either have heaven in the name somehow or have some kind of afterlife theme. We're not the only ones talking about it. All kinds of people talking about it. And most of it mindless drivel, as movies are wont to be. Not so much truth being held out in a lot of these movies, but it's on people's minds. It's on people's minds. There's even a TV series now. Okay, I don't watch this TV series, but my wife made me watch an episode of it just the other night, just last night, I think, or night before, because she thought it might fit this segment of the sermon. The title of the movie series, has anybody confessed to watching it? It's called Resurrection. Anybody, okay, maybe you can explain it to me. I was completely confused. Just a lot of people who used to be dead that aren't dead anymore or something, and a lot of stress and strain over that. And in our world today, people are recognizing the age-old truth that this life isn't all there is. It can't be. It can't. I hope it's not. It's depressing if we come to realize that. But maybe if you're a young person, you're full of vim and vigor and everything is fantastic, but it doesn't take that long before you start to recognize the frailties of this life, the things in this life that aren't so joyful, that maybe aren't working out as well as you had hoped. Everything doesn't quite work like it should. You can jump off the barn roof like Hans was doing with his friend. This is what these guys do when their friends come over. We came driving into our house, and I saw bodies flying off our barn roof, and it's not something that you see every day, thankfully. But anyway, when you're about that age, you jump off barn roofs because they're there. It's like climbing a mountain or something. But it's not too much longer that you get sort of older and smarter and you stop doing things like that, all right, because it hurts now and things like that. So we're going to talk about resurrection today. We're going to talk about the resurrection we've been singing about. The resurrection that's been the theme of everything we're doing here today. That Jesus died for our sins, that he was buried, but he didn't stay in that tomb. He rose again the third day. We call that the gospel. The gospel. And no church service should be without it, you know. No life should be without it, without the gospel. And so probably the most oft-quoted verse, John 3:16, that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. If you don't take anything else away today, take that. Take that. I've got some other stuff to say, but anyway, I wanted to get that out there so that if you don't remember anything else with our short attention spans, that you'll take that home. You'll take that home today. As we think about our lives, as we think about what we want out of life, if I asked you, what are you looking for in life? If I asked you that question, I might get a lot of different answers today. from different people. If you were brave enough, you'd speak up. Say what you're looking for, but I dare say that it would be some version of life, freedom, happiness, peace. I picked life, liberty, and happiness because we're in America. Sometimes I need little reminders, cultural reminders, or remind me where I am. Because sometimes I'm not in America, and so life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness doesn't ring patriotic like it does with us in America. But we're looking for that somehow. And so the question today isn't so much, what are you looking for? It's probably some version of that. But where are you looking? Where are you looking for life? Where are you looking for freedom? Where are you looking for happiness? Where are you looking for peace? That's the question. That's the question that's on our minds. The Bible says not once, but twice. And when the Bible says something twice, we should really pay attention to it. But in Proverbs 14 and Proverbs 16, there's a saying. There's a way that seems right. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end of that way is death. There's a way that seems right, but that's not the way. There's a way that seems like it leads to life and to happiness and to freedom, but it doesn't work out that way. And many of us are living proof of that. Our own lives, if you look at it. We did what we thought was right. We pursued what we thought was going to bring us happiness. And it left us empty. Just thinking about movies and movie stars, you can almost drop any movie star's name into the interview. But they're interviewed by whoever does the Tonight Show now. I don't know. Whoever was doing the Tonight Show and whenever it started. Or a show like that. And they have the most popular movie actor or actress of the time on. And they ask them, you know, are you just, what's it like to be you? To be so popular? To be so rich? To be so successful? And they inevitably say, it's not everything it's cracked up to be, you know. And sometimes they even complain about their life. I can't just go out to the movies when I want to go out to the movies, you know, because I get mobbed by people. I can't just go out to dinner somewhere. People bother me. And so I feel like a prisoner in all this fame and fortune. There's a way that seems right, but it doesn't lead us where we think it's going to lead us. And I wonder why we keep pursuing that. Why do we keep following that same path when so many people have showed us it doesn't lead to life? It leads to death. And Jesus said, look, there's two voices. There's two voices. And there's the voice of the thief. He's come to kill. He's come to steal. He's come to destroy. But I came so that you could have life and have it more abundantly. That's John 10:10. Jesus came to bring us life. It's not the way that we would assume. It's a way that God brings, a way of life that comes from God. Well, so our verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Have everlasting life. That's what Jesus came to bring us through belief in him. Through belief in him. And so when Jesus came, that gift of God's love, you know, it's Easter, but the story really begins more with Christmas. The announcement of good news. The angels came, they appeared to shepherds, and they said, we're bringing you good news, glad tidings. That'll be for all people. For today, to you is born a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Now, the good news that was announced was about Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ came, and, you know, at Christmas time, we have a lot of presentations of his birth. It's a lowly birth. Somehow it ends up being nice little programs with singing angels and things like that. And yet, his birth was humble circumstances. But the good news wasn't his humble circumstances of his birth. The good news that was announced wasn't that. As Jesus grew up, he began his ministry. He went about doing good. He healed people who were sick. He gave sight to the blind. He helped people who'd been lame their whole life walk again. He even raised some people back to life who died. But you know, those things were not the good news. They were good things, but they were not the good news. The good news was the mission that he came to go to the cross, that he came and went to the cross alone. We talked about it last week. He went to the cross alone to make the sacrifice for us. And that brings us to the text of our story today. It's in your bulletin. It's in your bulletin. It's Luke's version of some of what Mike read at the communion table. If you have a bulletin, you can follow along. Some of it's on the screen. Luke 24. And so after Jesus had been crucified on the cross and had been taken down, his body placed in the tomb, we pick up this piece of the story on the first day of the week. Very early in the morning, the women took the spices they'd prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." It's the wonderful story of the resurrection, but I'm intrigued by the question that the angels ask the women. Why do you look for the living among the dead? Why do you look for the living among the dead? You know, from our point of view, knowing all of the story, maybe we're too familiar with the story, but knowing all of the story, the question makes sense. Yeah, why would they do that? Don't they know that Jesus is going to be raised on the third day, like he said? Why would they bother to go to the tomb? But just think about it. They don't know about the resurrection. And so when the angel asks them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" they're saying, "Because we watched him die. Because we saw him die, that's why we came here. It makes all the sense in the world for us to come here. He's supposed to be here. There's a way that seems right to people. But that way is wrong. It's wrong." And so the angels are calling attention to that in their own way. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? Jesus isn't dead. He's alive. He's risen. And the question comes to us, why are we looking for life among the dead? Why? Why do we keep looking for this world? Why do we keep looking in the way that seems right to people? Why don't we look for life in Jesus Christ, the risen Lord? That's where we should look. That's where we should look. Just like the women. Don't look here. This is where the dead are. He's risen, and he's gone ahead of you. So what are we looking for and where are we looking for it? That's the question the resurrection brings to our minds, to our hearts today. Where are we looking for life? Well, often we look for life through things like our jobs, our career. We want to be somebody. We want to be successful, however it gets measured. Maybe it's our position. Maybe it's our job title. I was talking to somebody about that the other day because I'm in business for myself, so I can have any job title I want. It's really kind of a challenge to figure out what to put on there, you know. CEO, president, super intelligent, smart guy who's running his own company, you know. But I'm the only employee, too, so maybe I'm janitor and, you know, a bunch of other stuff. And so we look in our career, though, for worth. The fact that you can understand the joke in that, right? CEO versus janitor. Why is that funny? Because we're looking for life in all the wrong places. Because there's a way that seems right to us in this world, and we get caught up in it. And that way is the more important your title is, you know, the more successful you are, the more happy you must be. You must be more happy. You've got a better job title, or you had a better job title. But you know, there's so much emptiness in that. I'm really proud of the career I had in the corporate world. 27 years I worked for Nike, very exciting, successful company. Yeah, I even worked overseas. Isn't that cool? Yeah. That's about as much as I can tell people about what I did in 27 years without their eyes rolling back and glazing over. Because as cool as that is, nobody cares about it. As much blood, sweat, and tears as I put into that job to accomplish some really, really fantastic things, nobody cares. Nobody, you don't really care about it. Maybe you're too busy building your own career, you don't care about mine. But anyway, that's the futility of it. I'm not down on working and working hard. I think God wants us to work hard. He wants us to do our best. But that's not where life is. That's not where life is. In the end, you just retire or get fired or something. And then some young bucks, they're changing the world. Isn't that right, Mike? I mean, you know, after a while it's like, wow, I can't even think like they think, you know. But their day's coming, you know, their day's coming, because there's more people coming after them. Sometimes we look at religion for our life, and you might think that's a strange thing to have at this point in the slide, but sometimes we think it's our religiousness, the fact that we go to church, that we're part of a church, or maybe we give money to a lot of good works, like Christian Relief Fund. I got my orange band on. Maybe we want to look for life in all the good works we do and all the service that we do. But, you know, I won't tell my joke, but I like to tell my joke about Mother Teresa just getting to heaven and realizing that God's going to tell her she didn't do enough. Still not funny. Anyway, I can't help it. But it's still, I think it makes the point. You can do lots and lots and lots of good works, and in the end, they don't really add up to that much. Because the Bible tells us that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And I only got one good analogy for this, so apologies to those of you who've heard it a couple of times. But to meet God's standard of righteousness, God's a holy God. He's completely righteous. And to meet His standard of righteousness is like doing the long jump across the Grand Canyon. You know, all you have to do to meet His standard is just long jump across the Grand Canyon. If you've ever been to the Grand Canyon, it's a long ways over there. And so some of us might be better jumpers than others. Some are pathetic jumpers. I've seen you. I used to be a better jumper than I am now. Now I don't really like to leave the ground. It's hazardous. But there's a few people who can jump like Hans off of barns and stuff like that. But no matter how good you are or not good you are, when it comes to long jumping across the Grand Canyon, does it really matter? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're great at jumping or pathetic at jumping. You fall short. You fall short. And that's where we all are. You might have been a horrible person in your life and done things we don't even want to hear about. Or you might be a pretty decent person. A pretty good person. Everybody says you're a good person. But it doesn't matter. You don't measure up to God's standard. We've all sinned. That's what the Bible says. We've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so we have to, if we're going to have life, get it from the gift of God, from His grace. We don't get it on our own. We don't get it from having fantastic careers. We don't get it from being super religious. We don't get it from doing all the good works in the world. As good as all those things might be, they're not the source of life. The source of life is Jesus Christ. John put it this way. He's so plain spoken, the Apostle John. In 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 and 12, he says, God has given us eternal life. God has given us eternal life. We've not earned it. God has given us eternal life, and that life is in His Son, Jesus Christ. That life is in His Son, Jesus Christ. And so it begs the question, how do you get into His Son, Jesus Christ? If God has given us eternal life and that life is in His Son, then the place to look for life is in Jesus Christ. How do I get in Jesus Christ so that I can have that eternal life that God has given us? And so, a few verses here, just for your reference to look at. But life comes through that good news that was announced. When those angels announced, I'm bringing good news of great joy for all people, because today was born a Savior. A Savior. That's what made it good news. He came to make the sacrifice at the cross. He came to die for our sins. That's in the middle here. The good news, He came to die for our sins. And He was buried, and on the third day He rose again, conquering death. And so if you want to get into Jesus Christ, you just respond to that simple gospel. I like Mike's comments this morning about the simplicity of it. It's not complicated. It's not what we assume to be right. It's not the way that seems right to us, but it's not complicated. It's not complicated. We simply obey the gospel. Just as Jesus died to make that sacrifice, we die to ourselves. The Bible calls that repentance. We die to ourselves and our sin. We decide to stop following that way that seems right to us and follow Him. And then He was buried. We're buried in baptism. That's the water baptism. It's not complicated. Nothing special about the water. It's the act of being buried, just as Jesus was buried. And then Jesus rose again the third day. We don't leave you under the water for 3 days, but you come up out of the water to live a new life in Jesus Christ, because Jesus is life. That's the gospel we take our stand on. That's the gospel that saves us, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15. That's the gospel. And we need to remember it. We need to not forget it, because we're prone to forget it. That's why this supper is so important. It points right at that gospel, that Jesus died, He was buried, and He rose again. And so Peter, at the end of his sermon in Acts 2, the very first gospel sermon, told people to do that. He said, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that promise is for you, all the people there, and all the people that will come later, as many as the Lord our God will call. And so if you've not done that, maybe He's calling you today. He's calling you today to make that commitment, if you've not done that. I know the majority of you, a lot of you, there's a few new faces, but most of you, I know your stories. And tonight we're going to share some of those stories, so I really encourage you to come tonight and share your story of obeying the gospel and how Jesus changed your life and how you find life in Jesus. But Galatians 3:26 says to us, as many of us as have been baptized into Christ, and that's the majority of us here, have put on Christ. We've been clothed with Christ. And so if you haven't done that, we encourage you to do that, and we'll sing in just a few minutes, and you can do the traditional thing, come down front, and we'd love to help you with that, make that commitment. But for most of you that have done that, Paul wrote Galatians 3 to you and to me to remind us that those of us that have been baptized into Christ have been clothed with Christ. We've been clothed with Christ. And you know what's funny about clothing? I don't know if the fashion designers today have just forgotten what the mission is. But the mission of clothes, if you just go with me here, the mission of clothes is to actually cover you up, you know. And I know that some clothes that are being sold really don't do a very good job of that. And so that's not the clothes I'm talking about. And I don't think Paul was talking about that. He was talking about clothes that cover you up. And it'd just be weird if you decided to get dressed one morning and all you put on was this wristband. You know, it'd be weird. And please don't do that, especially if you're going to see me that day. And so we're to be clothed with Christ, but a lot of times I think we get up in the morning and the clothing of Christ that we put on is just kind of like this wristband. We just want a little bit, just something a little bit that says, yeah, I'm a Jesus person, kind of, sort of. Mostly I'm a successful person pursuing life in all the wrong places, but I got a little bit of Jesus. And Paul said, you were baptized into Christ. You were clothed with Christ. Clothed. In the clothing industry, they don't really call this stuff clothing. Socks are not clothing. So they categorize this stuff. I know we think of it as clothing, but clothing is the stuff that covers you up. That's the clothing. And so Romans 6, again, we often read Romans 6 to people who haven't been baptized to explain to them what it's all about. And that's a great text to use. But it was written to you and me. It was written to people already baptized. And Paul said, look, you were there. He said, you were, as many of us were baptized, you were baptized into Jesus' death. You were buried so that just as Jesus was raised from the dead, you could walk a new life. You could live a new life. You could have life in Jesus because Jesus is life. And so that's my message for you this morning, is not to miss in the celebration of the resurrection, in all the movies that who knows what they're saying, some things good, some things we're thinking about, but the truth of the resurrection is that Jesus is the only source of life, Jesus Christ. And you need to be in Him to have life. And if you're in Him, you're clothed in Him. And that brings life, the only source of life. And so as we sang to open the worship service today, I'll just remind you of Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life that I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. That's the essence of life for us in Christ. But many times people think about this resurrection, and they think about it like Mary and Martha did when Jesus raised Lazarus. And they say, I know there's going to be a resurrection at the last day. And praise God, there's going to be a resurrection at the last day. It'll make up for whatever didn't go right in this life, which is a lot of stuff. And it's going to be wonderful. It's going to be a great reunion with those that have gone before. And we so much look forward to that. But Jesus said some incredible things about eternal life. And I think John had it right when he put it in the present tense. God has given us eternal life, and that life is in His Son. Jesus said this in John 14. A lot of you read that this week. I hope you caught it. He said, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them. We will come to them and make our home with them. Do you hear that? That's not pie in the sky by and by. That's not just a hope of heaven after we die and get out of this mess. But it's heaven come down and fill your soul right here, right now. And so we're going to sing that. We're going to sing that song. And if you need to respond in any way to the gospel today, you can come up front. We'll surround you with prayer. If you haven't committed to Jesus in baptism, we'd love to help you with that. If you have any need at all, won't you come while we sing? Won't you stand?